Welcome in to the Blanket Coverage Podcast. We have another quarantine edition of this podcast for you. We are very excited today to talk about the Cowboys, the Steelers, and the Bears. 3-8-8 teams with really up and down seasons, very different looking teams. But nonetheless, 8-8 teams. This is going to be a little bit more boring episode. There's not a ton to talk about with either of these teams. Obviously, there are a bunch of storylines surrounding the Cowboys. We'll get to those with the big extensions, especially with Dak. There's the Steelers and their quarterback situation. Who's going to be the successor to Big Ben? And the Bears, of course, what are they going to do about their quarterback situation? Of course, I am joined by Jack Wallace on the FaceTime.
Yes, sir. Happy to be here as usual.
So, with that, let's just get into it. The MJ doc comes out tonight. I want to start by talking about this. I am currently DVRing it. I'm going to watch it as soon as we finish this podcast, and I cannot wait.
It was family movie time with us. We're going through the Lord of the Rings again, so we could not watch it tonight out here in Atlanta. It is currently already actually a good amount through it for us. So actually for all of us, yeah. So I'll be probably watching it tomorrow when I finally get some time for it. I've just had a busy week, so... Yeah, it's pretty exciting to see it. I actually did find out today that Jordan greenlit it during the Cavs 2016 3-1 comeback. The parade right after was when he actually greenlit it, which I think is a funny little detail. I'm still solidly in the Jordan being the GOAT conversation, and I'm pretty sold on that. So I'm more just finding it to be a funny tidbit, but it's just sort of pretty funny to see for such a legend that we see in Michael Jordan to have his documentary that we knew was coming. I mean, the minute his career finished, you knew there's going to be some ridiculous, huge budget documentary on the greatest player of all time.
I mean, I'm really pumped for it in the sense that I never got to watch Jordan play.
And yeah, course, that, yeah. Our generation hasn't.
I've seen all the, you know, the great moments. I've seen a lot of the stats. I've heard it talked about over and over again, but I just want it to be like on my television screen where I can just watch it 10 episodes at a time and really kind of get who Jordan was as a player more than what I have so far. So I'm really, really looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm looking forward to talking about the Cowboys since that's what we're going to talk about.
Woo!
Let me say this tidbit. I did not like the Cowboys growing up. When I grew up, you know, my mom's from Texas. A lot of her family is Cowboys fans, but they aren't like the Cowboys fans that you see when you actually move to Texas, because Cowboys fans are insufferable.
It's pretty tough. And again, I've come from a place where NFL is pretty dead. I mean, do love my Falcons, but there is a lot other priorities going on in Atlanta and a lot of the South and NFL. And that is not the case where really football of all levels is completely like on complete insanity level everywhere. And yeah, the Dallas Cowboys are worshipped like a cult here. And you know, for what they did for a lot of people that are older, as in people that experienced them in the 70s and the 90s, really. Yeah, I can see it. They did a lot, but of course we have always made fun of them for the last long while, just like their counterparts down in Austin, that they have a lot of solid history but just can't live up to it. And this year was pretty similar. The Cowboys finished 8-8, which was somehow second in the NFC East, which was a dumpster fire of a division. We've already gone through two of those teams, and now we're on the third, and we're only one team into the top half of the NFL, which goes to show you this is a pretty rough conference, division. Pretty obviously, the Cowboys did not make the playoffs once again, though they were actually pretty close. It all came down in the final game. It was really, really close down to the last game against the Eagles, which they hilariously lost. And then best moments of the season were the firing of Jason Garrett, which as a football fan, I was thrilled to see. As someone that doesn't exactly love the Cowboys, it was a little unfortunate because the hilarity of him being there was worth it. But as a football fan, I was like, you know, it's just too painful. Like, we need to have somebody else.
Yeah, and here's the thing about the whole Jason Garrett firing. That sounds great if you're going to go out and you're going to get somebody like, you know, a Lincoln Riley or somebody like that, somebody that's really going to come in and, like, excite your fan base. I don't think Mike McCarthy is necessarily that.
And again, we've yet to see what he can do with the Cowboys. I'm not going to judge him too harshly, but yeah. And
granted, this is a completely different team, but we saw him consistently underwhelm in Green Bay with good teams, with one of the best quarterbacks of all time.
And it is very true. And again, it's you see what he could do there. And yeah, if I were a Cowboys fan, I wouldn't be exactly thrilled right now. But you also, with the coach as inept as what we saw Garrett could do, and you're still going 8-8, which again, 8-8 is not bad by any means. It's certainly disappointing. It's certainly not ideal, but I would not say 8-8 is anywhere near bad. So if you can get a coach that most people would consider at this point better, you really only need a slight push. I mean, if you look at their season, they were only a few drives away from being in the playoffs. I mean, they were honestly a drive away from being in the playoffs and a few drives away from actually being a decent seed. So if you can get that little bit of push of a coach, you don't need to have a Belichick in Dallas to get this team to be that good. You have so many other things here anyway.
Now, and the interesting thing when you look at this roster is that the offense is absolutely loaded. They don't have any noticeable holes. I mean, you can nitpick about maybe a third wide receiver. Maybe, you know, Jason Witten and Blake Jarwin aren't exactly the most dangerous tight end combo. But when you think about Michael Gallup and Amari Cooper and Dak Prescott and Zeke Elliott, that's a pretty good four players, not to mention your offensive line, which has been consistently one of the best in the league for the past few years.
Now, the only thing you could say was a hole was the retirement of Travis Frederick at center. That's the hole.
We'll talk about this when we get to their positions. Positions for the Cowboys, the offensive line has been one of the best in the league, but we're starting to see it sort of crumble away. We're starting to see where now they're going to need to repair some spots. We talked about, you mentioned Travis Frederick retiring. That's huge. He's been an anchor in the middle of that offensive line for years and years and years. And his retirement is a big deal. Tyron Smith has been consistently getting hurt. Connor Williams got hurt last year. And Connor Williams is a good guard, but when he's hurt, he's not doing much for you. So you really need to add some depth, if anything, to that offensive line. But they really need a starting center now.
Exactly, yeah. And that's going to be probably what they're going to look for in the draft. And, of course, we're going to get onto that later when we talk about the draft. But for now, that sort of seems to be the main concern of the Cowboys. Looking on to the other good moments of the year, Dak had a great season. I mean, he really did. And I get there were a lot of parts about it that weren't perfect. I understand there were a lot of issues with it. It wasn't a perfect season. There were things that were messed up about it. He didn't get any real honors for it. But darn it if we're not going to give him some credit. I mean, he had multiple 400-yard games. He had – I'm trying to go back and see exactly what he did, just because I want to see the stats for the season. But sorry, give me a second to look for it.
He played like a top five quarterbacks at some points in the year. He really had his best year overall in his career year. I mean, in his contract year.
The main record that he set during this season was most passing yards a game in a season for the Cowboys, which was 306.6 yards. He actually holds a pretty large amount of records for the Cowboys, a lot of them for rookie. He's arguably the best Cowboys rookie quarterback you could find, and I get that's a bold take, but if you look through it, there are a lot of really big accolades he had as a rookie. And again, yeah, went down a little bit, and now starting to bounce back up, and I'm aware his touchdown-interception ratio wasn't exactly what we prefer. But, again, trying to find more stats on Dak Prescott. Because, again, we have seen some interest in Jalen Hurts from this team. Looking ahead for draft stuff, so I'm not exactly sure why they would do that. Again, there's rumors about Jameis Winston, so I'm not entirely sure what the point of that would be. But, yeah, over the season, he was 65% completion rate, 4,902 passing yards, a very, very high passing yard rate. 8.2 yards per attempt, 30 touchdowns, and 11 interceptions. So, again, that's a solid season. Almost having 5,000 yards and 30 touchdowns, and unlike Jameis Winston, you do not throw 30 interceptions to pair with that only 11. So, yeah, I would say it was a good, solid season for Prescott. He's still got a lot of work to do. A lot of those interceptions cost him games, but it was certainly better than what he usually has been putting up. To move on with that, three Pro Bowlers, Zeke, Amari Cooper, and Jalen Smith, all three playing fantastically, and then Zeke getting 1,300 rushing yards with 4.5 yards per attempt.
Well, there were some bad moments, and by some I mean a lot of bad moments. Let's start with the fact that they didn't beat a single good team. The best team that they beat last season was the LA Rams.
And their other teams they beat were Giants twice, Redskins twice, Dolphins, Lions, and the Eagles.
Wow. Okay, so they beat. So they did Woo! Beat one team with a above 500 record.
And they did beat them pretty badly. With the Eagles, they beat them pretty. It was 37-10, and the Rams win was 44-21. So to be fair, their two better wins were two really dominant wins. But and again, if you look at their losses, if we're going to be fair,
oh yeah,
you lost to the Saints by two.
Two good teams.
You lost to the Saints by only two on the road. You lost to the Packers by 10. The Jets, which was pretty bad, but only by two. The Vikings by four. Patriots by four, and you held them to 13 points. Bills by 11 on Thanksgiving. Bears by seven, and then Eagles by eight. So again, a lot of their wins were really strong. A lot of their losses were really weak. And again, if you look at the margin of victory, every single one of their wins, every single one, if I'm not mistaken, looking through, yep, every single one of their wins was double digits or more.
Yeah.
And yeah, most of the teams they beat were bad, but they beat them thoroughly and they beat them well. And it was the problem was they couldn't finish.
It's
they
such
could
a,
beat all these teams, but they couldn't close.
We'll see this with all three of these teams.
Yeah.
All three of these teams were not good enough to beat a good team.
Yeah, they walloped the crap teams,
to lose to all the crap teams.
And that's the problem.
They lost to the Eagles to miss the playoffs late in the year. They actually were making a playoff push. Which leads us to this. They had 8-8 in the weakest division in football.
And that's
and
the
granted,
problem.
They pretty much dominated their division. They went what? 6-5-1 in their division?
And like I mentioned, the Redskins games 31-21 on the road, 47-16 in week 17 at home. Then even the Giants, 35-17 to open the season at home, and then you have 37-18 on the road. And then the Eagles win 37-10. They destroyed their division. They only lost one game in it, which is at the Eagles by eight. They had a fantastic
run. It's almost backwards if you think about it, because normally we think of the NFL schedule and your hardest games are in division for most teams. I'd say the hardest thing for the Falcons is having to play the Saints twice a year.
And playing the Bucs with Brady on it, a lot more additions. It's going to be hard. I get Panthers, we kind of get a little bit of a freebie, and we usually play really well against
but
the Panthers.
But for most teams, their hardest games are in the division. And for the Cowboys to go 5-1 in the division and then go 8-8 on the year, that is a terrible, terrible look.
Yeah, it was one of the worst things that that could have happened to the Cowboys looking outside of it, especially if you mean you do your job, you dominate most of your divisions. Honestly, if you're the Cowboys, you can't even be up that upset at the last Eagles game. You go 5-1 in your division. I don't care how bad it is. That's a good record. So, but you can't lose that many games outside of it. You can't win three games outside. I mean, it's just it's
yeah,
that's
and,
too poor.
And
3-7.
This team, after a 5-3 start, finished 3-5. So they skidded to the finish line. But let's look at some positions. Let's look at some roster stuff. So the top three safest positions, Dak was franchise tagged. This is where I want to get into this. What are they going to do with Dak? Obviously, I think you have to give him a long-term extension, but it seems like he just wants a lot of money. So you have to have a contingency plan in place in case it gets there. But it seems like, you know, Jerry Jones really wants to shell out for him.
And that's why it's going to be interesting to see what they do in the draft. And again, we're hearing rumors they can maybe try to look at a quarterback. They can maybe try to look at Winston. There are other options out there for them than Dak. Of course, I highly doubt they prefer those options. But if you have to, there are there. So I wouldn't necessarily bet on that. I'm more just looking around to see there are other opportunities. But if you're the Cowboys, you really need to push for Dak. And yes, I'm aware he's asking, what was it, $40 million of a contract? Like, he's asking for a lot. But
yeah.
Throwing for almost five. I mean, again, if you look at the season he had last year, I'm not going to put that much of the blame on him. And again, we'll see after this year. 2020 will tell. Because then we'll see, really, was it more Garrett's fault or was it more Prescott's fault? We'll see. But I feel like it was personally more on Garrett than it was Prescott, seeing the stats that Prescott could put up.
Yeah, and I would love to see what Dak Prescott does with Mike McCarthy at the helm, a little change of scenery there.
He has to succeed.
And this is kind of the last thing I'll say about it. I used to have a very strong opinion that Dak Prescott was not near worth the money that Dallas was, you know, that he was asking for, that Dallas was going to pay him. Now yes. I'm firmly on the other side of that, not because Dak played exceptionally last year, which he did at times. He played really well. But because of the new CBA situation and with the new salary cap situation, that contract is going to look completely different at the end than it is now, because the NFL revenue is expected to go up so much and the salary cap is expected to go up so much. That's going to look like a good deal in hindsight once you get 5-6 years down the road. The only thing is, it temporarily kind of handicaps your quote-unquote championship window. If you can't surround him with good talent, you can't go out and find good talent in free agency if you're paying this much money to Dak, Zeke, and Amari.
Yeah, exactly. And to move on to that, looking at those are short of our next two face eight positions is a wide receiver and running back. As you mentioned, this offense is absolutely stacked. Amari Cooper getting a big extension and Gallup good to go makes this team excellent on the wide receiver count. Losing Cole Beasley to the Bills was a sort of a necessary thing going to happen out of this. He was a solid addition for them at SMU for a long while. Was actually their second most tenured Cowboy at the time of his trade. And then running back Ezekiel Elliott has been solid for years. He'll continue to be solid. He's one of the best running backs in the league. No problem there in Dallas. He's going to be fine. And then honorable mention, Lawrence and Crawford combo at defensive end has been elite. And this team also on the defensive line, I'm not sure how much of this you saw. We're going to get to this obviously with free agents. But with this, they also signed a defensive end, Gerald McCoy and Alden Smith. And then defensive tackle Don Terry Poe, who I remember was on the Falcons a couple years ago. So three new additions to that defensive line.
Beefing up the front seven in Dallas.
Yeah, big moves for Dallas right there. Looking at our least safe positions, for the first time in a while, we can say offensive line, which, again, we still said offensive line has been one of the best things for the Cowboys. I think on PFF, looking at the overall rankings, which this might not be the fair ranking considering that it still has Frederick on it. Yeah, it does. So before Frederick's retirement, it had them at the fourth best offensive line in the country. They had fifth in PFF pass blocking grade and third in run blocking. Lyle Collins' performance this year was actually the most promising develop of the group. He had an 85.8 overall grade, which is third among tackles everywhere, and was the highest overall grade of his career. So big moves by Lyle Collins. Zach Martin is still there going strong. Tyron Smith wearing down a little bit. And then, of course, Travis Frederick, as we mentioned, the center, retiring, leaves a huge hole in this offensive line that needs to stay strong for an offense that's been running well but needs to keep that running up. Cornerback Byron Jones leaving the Cowboys was probably the biggest news of the whole offseason, with him getting an absolutely massive contract with the Rams. Is that it?
I don't think so. I have it up.
Am I losing it a little bit?
He went to Chicago.
My bad.
Chicago. 5 years, $70 million.
Which, of course, we'll talk about with Chicago
came
coming
from
shortly.
The Rams, though. That's where you had that.
Yeah, this is where I guess I remember. Yeah, the Ram thing. So he will have a big hole at the number one corner spot, which, of course, we've been talking about last episode with the Falcons being the spot right above them. That could be very tricky for the Cowboys, considering you need a cornerback, and the Falcons could easily take C.J. Henderson after Okuda off the board. Well, those are your clear top two. So that could be a problem for the Cowboys, and perhaps we could see a bunch of trading going on. On draft day, Amuzie and Lewis are good 2 and 3, but you still need to shut down one. Tight end Jason Witten wasn't the fix. Dax is going to need a better weapon than Blake Jarwin, who is their new addition of tight end. He has a 3-year, $24.25 million deal, so a pretty good deal for Blake. Apparently that was a re-signing. He played at Oklahoma State and was. I think he may have been undrafted, actually. Yeah, he was. He was undrafted in the 2017 draft and was signed. He played in 2017 a little bit and then through the last few years. And, Jason Witten, of course, leaving the Cowboys to sign with the Las Vegas Raiders. So Jarwin will likely be competing for the starter position here. But even with that, you could still
very much like to see another tight end. I think right now on the tight end list, it's pretty light.
It's pretty slim.
It's pretty light. So you're going to want, if you're the Cowboys, you're going to want something a little better than that at tight end. But that seems to be their at least safe positions.
Yeah, so let's talk some draft for the Cowboys. They have 6 picks, 2 in the 5th round, 1 in each other round, but they do not have a 6th round pick. So I think the Cowboys really need to beef up the secondary here. I think they should be looking cornerback. CJ Henderson could be a great target for them, but it seems like his floor is really Atlanta. It seems like he's not going to get past the Falcons.
I'm hearing a lot of rumors that Atlanta's going to try to move up, and I think it's because they want Kinlaw. I think that's what they're trying to do, is trade up to him. Though I don't know why, because I don't know who's going to take him specifically before then, but I feel like Derek Brown would be off the board before he would.
Even so, I don't think C.J. Henderson makes it past 16 because, A, I don't think Javon Kinlaw is going to be there at 16 if the Falcons stay at 16 for him.
I know. That's why I don't know why they would trade.
If he's not there, then I think the Falcons pick is C.J. Henderson. So I think that's really the floor with him. And then you're kind of looking at Christian Fulton, Jeff Gladney, who I think would both be great picks, maybe not an incredible value for 17th overall, considering you can still be an elite player at 17 overall. But Gladney would be a good pick there. I like him for this team. Kalyvon Chaisson has been a really popular pick among mock drafts. I really like the prospects of him across from Leighton Vander Esch on the other side of that defense. And any wide receivers that may fall maybe in the second or third round, you're looking at Chase Claypool, T. Higgins, K.J. Hamler, guys like that, I think could all make a difference. And if Jalen Reagor were to get to this point, I think we could see Jalen Reagor stay in the DFW Metroplex.
I would be pretty shocked to see either of our TCU guys going with that first round 17th pick, but maybe the second at the 51st, we could see one of them go.
Yeah,
but
that's more what I was pointing towards.
Yeah, that's what I was sort of figuring. And I'm agreeing with that. I'm thinking more and more the Falcons are going to trade up, which in the fact that they do, I would figure that they would be going more for Kinlaw because I think he's going to get drafted earlier than I would expect C.J. Henderson to, though I am hearing rumors C.J. Henderson is being valued higher and higher and higher. And you never know. So with that, I'm agreeing on a lot of these takes for the Cowboys. I think that would make the most sense for them, and that's sort of the best move.
Well, let's move on to the Steelers. The long and the short of the Steelers season is pretty it's pretty short. There's not a ton to talk about here because as we look at their season recap, they were 8-8. They weren't second in their division. They had to play the Ravens twice, which no one wants to do. They almost made the playoffs before they blew it with an 0-3 end to the season. They've still never had a losing season under Mike Tomlin,
which is really just shows you what an absolute legend of a coach they have in him.
It's credit to Mike Tomlin, who is the youngest coach ever to win a Super Bowl. TJ Watt and Minka Fitzpatrick are studs. Of course, they executed the Minka Fitzpatrick trade pretty early in the year. Absolute stud. Like, I can't emphasize it enough. Both of them were all pros. And they had a top 6 total defense in the league, first in weighted DVOA. So this was an elite, elite defense. This was a top defense in the league. And the long and the short of this season was that this defense was elite and this offense was one of the worst in the league. One of the worst things I've ever witnessed on live television.
If this team had a competent quarterback, it would be – I would have been blown away if they didn't make the playoffs. If they just had a competent quarterback. I mean, it was really sort of horrendous to see that. And – I don't know what to say about the offense. There really wasn't much you could do with it. I mean, the most interesting point of the whole team with the offense was when Myles Garrett got in a brawl with Mason Rudolph. Yeah, that was the most interesting point of the season. It was in a lot of fight, and I actually was one of the fortunate people to see it live. But watching that, I was just sort of like, okay, well, I guess this is the point of the Steelers now. But the whole show was Minka Fitzpatrick, TJ Watt, and then the rookie and Devin Bush. And that's pretty much the team. I mean, there's not much to say on offense. I mean, Juju Smith-Schuster is still solid, but there's not anyone decent throwing to him. So I'm not really sure what the team is going to be looking for here. I'd be pretty shocked if they didn't look for some kind of quarterback at this point, but it's going to be tough to look this deep.
Yeah, and here's the thing, because despite having zero offense, this team went 8-8. They were still able to win 8 games. Now, they didn't beat any great teams, and they lost to the Browns, but still a pretty good team, all things considered, especially when you add back in Big Ben. Now, what level Big Ben is going to be playing at this point in his career, that's my big question. Because at this point, you have to be looking at replacing Big Ben. And of course, Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges were both attempts to replace Big Ben, and both of them sucked. And that's where we can go with these worst moments. Big Ben gets hurt, Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges sucked.
And yes, we needed to say that twice.
Yeah. They did not beat a single team above 500. A 7-1 stretch after a 1-5 start and before an 0-3 finish, that's really a high point on the year for them. But then you look at either side of that, they start 1-5, end 0-3. That's not good. They looked in prime position for the playoffs at the end of the year after rallying the season back after, you know, having such an elite defense, and they were in pole position. The Titans needed help to get into the playoffs from the Steelers, and of course, the Steelers blew it with their 0-3 finish.
And that's the craziest thing. Is this team started out the season with at the Pats, Seattle at the Niners, which is a brutal start. Absolutely brutal start. They go 0-3. They actually were pretty – they got clapped by the Patriots, but they almost got the Seahawks and they almost got the Niners. After losing both, they went 8-2. And again, yeah, most of these teams are bad. It was Bengals, Chargers, Dolphins, Colts, Rams, Bengals, Browns, Cardinals, who they beat, losing to the Ravens in overtime and the Browns in a pathetic 7-21 game, which was the helmet game. And so – after that wonderful stretch to the season, which had them once again in great position, they're doing great, 8-5 going to the final stretch. And who do you have to play? The Bills, the Jets, and the Ravens. And you got to win one.
One.
You win zero.
You got to win.
You couldn't beat the one. Bills. You couldn't beat
you
the
gotta
Jets.
Win one of those games.
And I understand losing to the Ravens, but not even, because they purposely didn't play Lamar Jackson on half their team because they were already locked in. They didn't have to try. So you played the Bills, the Jets, and the Ravens who weren't trying, and you lose all three. It's just unbelievable. And it makes it where, you know, I don't even feel that bad at this point for the Steelers, because what are you going to do? I mean, you have a perfect position. You have a perfect setup. You have to do what you have to do, and you just can't close. And it's just like we talked about the Cowboys. It was an issue with this team. And, yeah – if you score 30 points total between those three teams, 10 each game, exactly. If you can only put 10 points up on the Bills and 10 points up on the Jets and 10 points up on the Ravens, and I get those are three decent defenses, they are, but 10 points, I mean, and 28, you let the Ravens score 28 on you without Lamar Jackson with this defense?
And let's not forget that Juju was hurt for most of the season and then came back at the end of the season. And I think I deserve – I think I should send a little care package to Mason Rudolph's front door and thank him for putting the Titans in the playoffs.
Yeah, so Tennessee fans and actually really football fans. Football fans, because then we didn't get to see the Patriots getting as far, which was a wonderful result of that. But I'm looking at the safest positions, moving on with this. A lot of it's going to be defense. Free safety, Minkah Fitzpatrick – that was a great decision to get him from Miami. That paid off very well. He was an absolute turnover machine in a good way at free safety. This guy was elite. Outside linebacker to go along with that, TJ Watt. I feel like all the Watt brothers, all the Bosa brothers, just all these absolute monsters from the Midwest.
Second team All-Pro.
They're doing pretty good, yeah. TJ Watt was excellent this season. This, again, as you mentioned, Noah, this defense was absolutely solid. He was one of the biggest members of that. And then last one, we know the injury was a little bit bad on him, but Juju Smith-Schuster out of USC is still an absolutely fantastic talent and one of the better wide receivers in the league. And for him, this was another solid season, what he could contribute. But expect him to be back solid. Just hope he has a better arm of somebody to get to him better. But if he's there,
he can really make some problems for some defenses.
Yeah, and moving on to our least safe positions, defensive tackle is a big one. They had Javon Hargrave leave on a pretty big contract. I believe it's like 3 years, $36 million, something in that range, with the Philadelphia Eagles. So Javon Hargrave, congrats on getting paid, man. Their offensive line, aging and weaker are the two terms that I used for this. Not a great offensive line, not a bad offensive line, but Alejandro Villanueva and Marquise Pouncey are not getting any younger. So you got to look at getting some offensive line depth there.
Now, there actually was one addition that was very solid, because there are two things in free agency we'll get to, but one of them was the signing of Eric Ebron. The other one was the signing of guard Stefan Wisniewski.
Wisniewski.
And Wisniewski actually was part of – he has played in two of the last three Super Bowls. This guy has been a very, very solid lineman. And to have him on this team has been a great addition that this team's got to get. So, yes, as offensive line still needs work. That's not the only position they need. But he was a really, really solid guy to get in. I think he primarily plays guard, if I'm not mistaken. Though he can –
yeah, he's a guard.
See, he also can play a little bit of center too. But guard's his main one. But – yeah, that was a good addition for them. Still needs work on it, but with how linemen usually need to be taken earlier in the draft, that's, again, helpful with this team not having a first-round pick.
Yeah, and the last position that they obviously need to look at is, we talked about it earlier, finding a successor for Big Ben. This looks like the twilight of Big Ben's career. He looks like he's kind of on his way out the door, limping out the door.
I just forgot about him, being honest. This whole season, I just sort of forgot about him.
I mean, when he was out for the year, I was kind of like, oh, Big Ben's out. Like, I mean, Big Ben is a good quarterback, but we usually anticipate him missing a certain amount of games in a year because he takes so many hits.
Yeah.
But they've got to look at finding a successor. I would think about, if I'm them, at least reach out to Jameis Winston or Cam Newton. Say, hey, Big Ben's old, he's aging, he's more than likely going to get hurt, God forbid, this year. Obviously, we don't want that to happen to anyone, yeah. But, I mean, more than likely, he's going to get hurt at some point this season, just of the nature of Big Ben. Say to Cam or Jameis, you want your shot? Come join one of the best defenses in the league, and let's see what we can do.
Exactly. So, that's more what I'm feeling like they're going to have to do at this point, because you can't survive on Big Ben much more than, honestly, maybe even a year at most. So that would be a big addition for them. Honorable mention, wide receiver too. We've talked a lot about Juju being a very, very solid addition for this team and being very, very solid. And that's kind of it. I mean, on wide receivers, you have the only other guy I can think of as sort of up there is maybe James Washington or Ryan Switzer. But even then, Switzer's more really of a return guy than anything else. So, yeah, you're going to need a little bit of help here. Seeing the draft in 2019, I'm not sure if they really did much to correct this. My apologies. Yeah, they did have Deontay Johnson's third round pick at wide receiver, and he may have helped some, but really more the Benny Snell pick at running back for Kentucky was more better than that. But looking a little bit at Johnson, I'm not sure if he did much of anything. I'll see. He was a pick out of Toledo. Again, third round pick in 2019. He was actually acquired from the trade of San Antonio Brown to the Raiders. Didn't do much. His biggest game was week 14. He had special teams player of the week because he got six passes for 60 yards and a touchdown, returned a punt for an 85-yard touchdown. He actually did get NFL All-Pro second team as a return punt specialist, so he was very solid, but it only had 59 receptions for 680 yards and 5 receiving touchdowns. So a solid year from a third-round pick rookie, but...
but they're going to need another guy.
But yeah, he's more of a special teams kind of guy. He is a solid guy. He should be there, but he looks to be more fitting into a wide receiver 3 than a wide receiver 2 role, as Juju's obviously in the wide receiver 1. So maybe looking for that wide receiver 2 spot specifically would be really good for the Steelers team in the draft.
And the Steelers better hope their receiver falls to round 2 or round 3.
Which they probably will. They're too many good ones.
We'll talk about that in a second. Round 1, they do not have a pick. They used it in the Minkah Fitzpatrick trade, so they have a round 2, a round 3, a round 4, another round 4, a round 6, and a round 7. So no 5th round pick, no 1st round pick. So players we could look for, Isaiah Wilson. They need another guy at tackle. They need depth across the offensive line. They could bring Isaiah Wilson in, let him develop for a year, see how he goes. And if he starts playing really well, maybe slide him in at one of those tackle positions. Another position, defensive tackle, Raekwon Davis. If he's sitting there at 49, you got to take him because you need some help on this interior defensive line. A couple of wide receivers I like for this team. I like Michael Pittman Jr. Put him across from his USC counterpart, Juju Smith-Schuster. Get the big USC wide receiver core going there. Fight on. Wide receiver KJ Hamler. I think he could do really, really well in Pittsburgh. He's a Philadelphia kid, went to Penn State, good friends with Miles Sanders on the Eagles, and I know the Eagles like him and need wide receiver help, but I think he could fit in really well down the road in Pittsburgh. And then defensive tackle James Lynch out of Baylor, I think could be another good one there.
Personally, I would think KJ might be taken earlier than Pittman, and with the way this is looking, I think I agree with that, where Raekwon Davis is an absolutely no question have to pick if he's there, and I think he might be. And if he is, you have to take him. He's the position they most need, and he's one of the best players there. I also think James Lynch might be worth it to take a little bit earlier than they need to, just because I think they need the defensive tackle much more. Because, again, wide receivers, you have two solid guys out there. I don't think it's that huge of a need, and that's why we mentioned wide receiver two last. Like, could use it, but it's not a huge need.
I don't even necessarily think they have an offense problem as a whole. I think they had a quarterback problem last year, and that was
Because running backs were solid too for the middle, and then tight ends they had. I mean, it wasn't that much of a problem. It was, again, yeah, it was focused on the quarterback more than anything. So for this team, I just have to look at the D tackle first. You have to look at D tackle first. And looking for a guy like Davis or Lynch are really your priorities here. And yes, if you can scoop up another guy, a wide receiver, you have a pick later on. If I'm not mistaken, you mentioned that it's a second round or third round, 102nd, which he has a while back, and they have a lot of picks deeper in this draft. But looking how many solid wide receivers here, you're going to get a chance at a good wide receiver. I just couldn't find it possible to have them all be gone by the third round. So I could see them getting some stud later in this and using him as wide receiver three. Again, maybe an offensive lineman if there are any left, just because they wouldn't last that long looking at 1-2. But for this team, I just see that those line priorities being the priority and not really much of anything else.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that wraps up our Steelers discussion. Let's move on to Da Bears. For their season recap, they were 8-8, third in the tough NFC North. Playoffs, they were playoff negative. They tested negative for the playoffs, so they did not. They were not infected with the playoffs last year. What are some of their good moments from last season?
Last season, they did beat the Vikings twice, which was unexpected to say the least. Another team that ranked really high in defense, they were fourth. And 8-8 was actually pretty good, considering if you watched the Bears at all this season. And Allen Robinson, 98 receptions for 1,147 yards, which surely makes him a wide receiver one. I saw some fights on Twitter earlier last week about him not being wide receiver one. I would find that a little bit surprising after his last season. They did mention as well the Bears have not won a playoff game now in 10 years. 2010 was the last time the Bears won a playoff game, which I know that sort of gets all the way into worst already, but yeah, just a fun fact to let you know, the Bears have not won a playoff game. They were two doinks away from getting that win a couple years ago, but not yet. So
never forget.
Still one of the wildest things I've ever seen in sports, but again, the Bears are another team that has a lack of a first round pick. They automatically start with the second round with the 11th pick in the second, 43rd overall, and I am forgetting it right now. Let me actually see real quick who the...
That's the Raiders pick.
Actually seems... So, yes, that is true. So
that was in the Khalil Mack trade.
Yeah, so the Dolphins have that Steelers pick, and the Raiders have that Bears pick. So those two are already taken. Going into worst moments, you can help divulge in a few more of those.
So Minnesota was the only team above 500 that they did beat. And holy crap, Mitch Trubisky was terrible. Let me pull up his stats briefly from last year. Because he was just atrocious. I mean, this was one of the worst starting quarterback seasons I've ever seen from someone who really didn't have that bad of a year in their first season. Last season was just abominable. Went 8-7, 63% completion percentage, only threw for 3,000 yards, 17 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. And let me tell you something, those are some Marcus Mariota numbers if I've ever seen them in my life. Great Twitter thread and maybe an article about it. Mitchell Trubisky has big problems throwing left. It seems like an issue if your quarterback has an issue throwing to the left. That's definitely not ideal for your quote-unquote franchise quarterback. And, of course, we don't want to sting Bears fans any more than we already do. But let's not forget that the Bears traded up for Trubisky in a draft with Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. But we'll leave that alone for now. They didn't have a 1,000-yard rusher on the team. This running game was not very strong last year. Of course, David Montgomery, the young back out of Iowa State, continues to play well, but he never got to that level of breaking 1,000 yards last year. And Khalil Mack with only 8.5 sacks, and the next highest on the team was 6. So not a whole ton of production from Khalil Mack, even though he's still a game wrecker.
Very true indeed there. And yeah, for Mack, he sort of went down a little bit. Again, this was a team that we did expect to be very solid defensively, and as we go into our safe and least safe position, that will be made even more clear. But yeah, this is still a team that we like a lot. This is still a team that had a lot of talent on it, which, again, that tends to be the sort of phase we're in right now. We're in the lower part of the upper half of the NFL, which is talking about most of these teams tend to be teams that had worse records than what their roster should have been, which I think is sort of the same for all three of these teams we're talking about today, is all three really should have had better records, and all three blew it in some hilarious fashion. So that kind of tends to be it with what they work, but looking at the positions for these teams, the top three safest positions, one of them off the bat, linebacker, pretty easy to say. You got a trio of Smith, Mack, and Floyd, and then Trevathan also there. That's a pretty good core. I think if you're the Bears, you're sort of sitting fine at linebacker right now. And then you can throw in Robert Quinn too. So, yeah, this is a very, very solid linebacker core here that really, I feel like, for a long while has had no issues in Chi-Town.
Yeah, and next we got Eddie Jackson making another Pro Bowl, a very solid young corner there. And of course, his secondary counterpart, cornerback one, Kyle Fuller, is still very good. But we talk about least safe positions, and I guess this is not one of the least safe for this upcoming year, but for Bears fans, in the future, neither Foles or Trubisky is going to be a long-term answer. Now, maybe you get a little bit more out of Nick Foles than you did from Mitch Trubisky last year, but we saw what this team can do with a good quarterback. When Mitch Trubisky played well the year before, they have a good enough defense to make up for some mistakes. So maybe Foles can be that guy, but they still need a quarterback of the future, and I think if they have another bad year next year, they may start looking towards trading up and drafting another one. I don't think this is going to be one of the worst teams in the league next year. I don't think they're going to have a top five pick. They're not going to be in the Trevor Lawrence Justin Fields sweepstakes, but you never know. Maybe there's another guy that you could throw in the mix there. Maybe no one saw Joe Burrow coming at the beginning of this year, so we'll have to watch college football next year to figure that out. But right now, neither Foles or Trubisky is a safe long-term answer for this team. With cornerback two, they're very thin after Kyle Fuller. They have no one on the roster that can cover a good receiver other than Kyle Fuller.
And that seems very true. The cornerback list on this, just to go through some of the guys they have left on it, you have Artie Burns, Xavier Crawford, Stephen Denmark, Michael Joseph, Sherrick McManus, Trey Robertson, Duke Shelley, Buster Skrine, and Kevin Tolliver. So not a very deep list right there for this team that you just sort of have to say, we'll see. And so if they can draft a good corner and get this set back up, they're sitting pretty. But just like we said with the Falcons and just like we said with the Steelers, you have a lot of cornerbacks that are in this draft, and not that many are super elite. And you see Okuda being up there. You see C.J. Henderson up there. And then it kind of dies down. And, I mean, I know Christian Fulton out of LSU, A.J. Terrell out of Clemson, Trayvon Diggs out of Bama, Jeff Gladney out of TCU. Like, you definitely have some good guys in here. It's not saying you don't have any good guys, but
there's a drop-off. Slim chance that any of those tier two guys are going to be available at their pick in the second round, because they don't have a first round pick to address the position.
And that's the difficult part. And so we're going to see how the Bears and the Steelers, two teams that don't have those first round picks, are going to be able to navigate this, because they need to be able to get these solid picks in just to save themselves.
They also need to grab another guard since Kyle Long retired. That was kind of the third one I threw in there.
Yeah. So looking at the picks overall, they have, we mentioned a little bit earlier, second round, 11th pick, 43rd overall. Another second round, the 18th pick, which is 50th overall. Fourth round, 34th pick, 140th. A fifth round pick at about 163rd, and then 2 6th and 2 7th rounds. So some late ones in there. Two of those from the Eagles and Raiders. And again, their second round pick, 11th overall, is from the Raiders. So
also, before we go on, I did make a mistake earlier when I was writing this. Leonard Floyd is no longer on the team. He is with the Los Angeles Rams. He signed a 1 year, $10 million deal with them. They lost a fair amount of players. They lost HaHa Clinton Dix. They lost Leonard Floyd. They did gain Jimmy Graham. They also gained Robert Quinn as a replacement for Leonard Floyd. So we'll see how that works out for them.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see sort of what ends up falling where. And speaking of falling where, players to look out for in this draft. Again, we talk about cornerback. We're going to keep talking about cornerback. Really, anybody that drops, anybody that gets anywhere, this team will take. And again, like I mentioned, that short list of guys, there's still other ones down there, like Jalen Johnson out of Utah. Noah, oh boy, Igbinoghene.
Igbohine,
he's cornerback out of Auburn. Igbinoghene, yes. Quarterback, corner out of Auburn. And then Damon Arnett, who's actually pretty underrated, I think. Corner out of Ohio State. Cameron Dantzler out of Mississippi State. And then finally Bryce Hall out of Virginia.
I think they're in prime position to get one of those guys at the round two, number 11. Yeah,
I think one of those bottom five I mentioned, which again, I say bottom five with a grain of salt. These are all very solid corners. So this is a good draft for cornerbacks. But that is the bottom five. You compare them to the top five. So those are going to be those guys. I think it's very likely they end up getting one of those. There's absolutely no way that all of them are. I mean, it's 11th pick in the second round. You're probably going to have all five of those on the board at that point. So it'll be interesting to see sort of who they end up looking for. Wide receiver Jalen Reagor are going to get two picks in that second round early on. So you're going to get your pickings there. And I think you could easily get both a solid corner and Jalen Reagor back-to-back there, and that would be huge to this team. And then looking at safeties, Antoine Winfield Jr. and then Grant Delpit, the hyped-up safety from LSU. Again, there's so many LSU guys in this draft. It's crazy. But he's another one of the better ones here. And he also could go to this team a little bit later.
Eddie Jackson needs a buddy back there.
Exactly. Helping out this team a little bit.
Well, you got anything else?
Not too much. Just trying to blitz through as many of these as we can, because we forgot to time this very accurately and forgot the draft is very soon.
And we also also forgot that the draft comes right before finals week.
Yes, so forgive us if we're doing this a little bit rushed, but we're trying to get out everything we can. We're now a good chunk into it. We're getting so close to playoff teams. Not quite there, but we are almost there. The 2019 Los Angeles Rams are coming up next, and we're going to do the Rams, the Eagles, and the Bills. So we are going to finally tap into the playoff teams in next week's episodes to get a few of the losers of the playoffs early on. And then after that, we'll do an episode, which this one probably might be the best one. It will be Patriots, Saints, Vikings. Ooh. A loaded lineup.
After that, we'll have Texans, Seahawks, and Ravens. Another interesting episode there.
Oh, I can't wait to go in on
that's gonna
Texans.
Be, ooh, that's going to be fun. And then the final episode, and this one I think we ought to do just a big one of four right before draft day, and this one will be the Titans, the Packers, the Niners, and the Chiefs. Because, again, most of the Niners and Chiefs, there's not that much to talk about at that point because their picks are so late. And
they're kind of running it back turbo.
Yeah. Their teams are rounded out, and again, if there's anything we can talk about the Chiefs, it's that, oh boy, they are looking good for next season. They signed, I think, what was it, 22 of the 24 from the Super Bowl winning season are going to be back next year. It's ridiculous. They have pretty much everybody's back, so expect this team to be back very, very good next season. So,
and on Wednesday, be on the lookout for our mock draft podcast. We're doing a first round mock draft.
Yes,
we're going to go through every team. We're going to get our big boards up. We're going to get our war rooms going, and Jack is going to pick the NFC teams on behalf of the Atlanta Falcons, and I will pick the AFC teams on behalf of the Tennessee Titans, and I'll try to do my best to keep any sort of bias out of this.
Of course. And with this one, we're just going to more see, because they're two different teams and two different lineups, and their teams are all over the place. I just want to see – honestly, I don't even care about a competition in this. I just want to see if we can get really any of them right.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Besides the top, like, five, we really are just sort of guessing. So we're going to play our GM's
one, I did one during the Baker Mayfield draft because I wanted to see how well I could do. That was probably the peak of my, like, draft junkie days. I did one during Baker Mayfield draft, and I got Baker Mayfield, and I got Sam Darnold, and I think that was about it for the top ten. And I felt so good about it beforehand. I was like,
I mean, it
this is killer.
It's just so tough. And again, we're talking about all these guys, and again, there's so many dudes who are saying Joe Burrow's going to be first. And then you're going to have Chase Young at second. And you're going to have Jeff Okuda at third. We don't know. All these things could totally change up. There's been a lot of mumblings in the NFL of a lot of teams trying to change around.
One thing I heard on the Ringer NFL pod, they were talking to Mike Tannenbaum, former GM, and he said that what you'll see a lot in this draft in particular, he thinks, is pre-packaged trades. So teams will call a team up in advance and say, hey, if this guy is here at your pick, this is what we're going to offer you. We're not going to offer you anything less. We're not going to offer you anything more. If that guy is there, we're going to call you and we're going to pull the trigger on this trade. And so they'll agree upon that beforehand, of course, contingent on the player dropping. So I think it could be a really interesting draft as far as trades. I think there could be some pretty big shakeups. I don't know if anyone's going to be trading players necessarily as much, but they're going to be definitely going to be looking at trading draft capital, trying to load up draft capital for coming years, of course, with pretty good drafts coming up the next 2 years.
And mind you, we are still thinking about what we're going to do for the month of May and then through June, July, August, and everything, because obviously we don't really have any issues not really being close to school, because school is effectively over for in person at this point due to, of course, the virus. So, yeah, we're going to try to think up something, because there isn't really too much to cover for that. So we're just going to do what we can. And if the NBA ends up being officially over and officially done, as sad as that would be, we might try to do something like this for NBA just to fill in some time.
I think we just start ranking things.
We might. I mean, I just want to get content out for y'all and for us. I need to do something.
I think we just need to start ranking things after the NFL draft. I mean, we'll obviously do a draft recap. We'll talk about who has the best draft, who has the worst draft.
Of course, yeah.
But
yeah.
We're going to need to rank some things. There's nothing going on. People love rankings. I love rankings. I think we're going to need some controversy here. We're going to need to introduce some controversy to the Blanket Coverage podcast, a little drama.
We'll have some scalding. We'll have that. We'll just have a scalding takes day. We just talk about our absolute hottest takes and just let it fly and fight on it. So I don't know. I just want to get content out because we have it pretty set. The next week of content is going to be pretty crazy for everything just because we have to get a lot of these out and the draft. So the next week's going to be a lot. Next week and a half is going to be a lot. But after that, we're just going to sort of see, because we're pretty much done talking about the NFL until September after this week. So we're just going to try to fill it in with whatever else we can find, because as far as we know, the only sports that have been officially set and dated are golf tournaments as late as November with the Masters, and then actually Colonial in Fort Worth was moved to, I think, June. not mistaken. So there is something going on, but I know you, and I can say pretty certainly I do not know much about golf, so it might be hard for me to comment on that, but we'll find something we can talk about.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for tuning into the Blanket Coverage Podcast. We hope to see you later this week as we continue to churn out these podcasts. Listen to your own team. Listen to other teams. Just listen to us talk. Let us give you something to do during this quarantine, even if that's just listening to us. So that does it for this episode of the Blanket Coverage Podcast. I am Noah Parker here in Nashville, Tennessee.
And I'm Jack Wallace, chilling out in Atlanta.
Peace, y'all.
Peace out, y'all.